Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. I'm Chad, and I serve with the Send Network and also at LifePoint. We are in a series called Detours, and the main idea of this series is God uses our wrong turns to get us to the right places. This week, we come to one of the more interesting passages in all of the Bible. The latter part of the book of Genesis centers around the life of Joseph, but Genesis chapter 38 is all about Judah, his older brother, one of his older brothers. Genesis 39, then, after 38, picks right back up on the story of Joseph. And at first glance, Genesis 38 seems way out of place. Why is a story about Judah interrupting the story of Joseph's life? Well, as we'll come to find out, Judah plays a significant role in the life of Joseph. Judah is one of the brothers that sells Joseph into slavery and helps cover up his human trafficking by making it look like he was killed by an animal. Unfortunately, Genesis 38 reveals that Judah's life hasn't changed much. In fact, it's gotten quite a bit worse. So here's the story. Judah's son marries a woman named Tamar. His oldest son marries a woman named Tamar, but he was wicked and died because of his wickedness. So, according to the law, the next oldest brother should take the widow as his wife so that he can produce heirs in place of his brother. So that's what Judah does. His next oldest son is given to Tamar as a husband, but he died as well because of his wickedness. So according to the law, Judah should give his third and last son to Tamar as a husband, but he didn't do it. He withheld his youngest son from her because he refused to see what was really going on. Number one, his third son was a little bit young, not quite the marrying age yet, and he blamed the fate of his two older sons on Tamar instead of seeing the truth that it was their own choices and their own godlessness that caused their untimely deaths. But because he couldn't see that, he chose to withhold his son from her, and in this way, he did not deal justly with her. But wait. It gets worse, okay? Tamar, wanting to get justice for being left without a husband, dresses as a prostitute and waits for her father-in-law. She then sleeps with him and is impregnated by him. Now, this is scandalous because she was, number one, supposed to be a lady in waiting for Judah's third son. She's supposed to be chaste until she's married to his last son, and when Judah finds out, he becomes furious that she broke her side of the agreement. But what is shocking is that he broke his side of the agreement first. And it's crazy that he doesn't have the self-awareness to see it. Not to mention that he is the one that solicited a prostitute and impregnated, although he didn't know this unknowingly, his own daughter-in-law. And it's crazy because this is in the Bible, right? This is a story that you can read in the Bible for everyone to see. And it begs the question, man, what in the world do we do with a story like this? What does this have to do with us, especially the life of Joseph, which is the main narrative here in the latter part of Genesis? Well, it has everything to do with us. This chapter may seem random, but it's not random. It may seem like it doesn't fit into Joseph's story, but it does fit into Joseph's story. See, Judah, for whatever reason, is from the chosen line of the Messiah. God chose Judah and his family tree to bring about the birth of Jesus. Now, you may have heard in other places that Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and that's where he gets his name, because Judah is his ancestor. He comes from the line and lineage of Judah. And God preserves Joseph's life and goes before him into Egypt and uses his story of injustice to preserve the life of Judah. It's absolutely fascinating. One pastor put it this way. Joseph doesn't go to Egypt so that he can be successful and so that he can be powerful and so that he can go from the prison cell to the palace, which he does, by the way. But that's not the whole point of Joseph's life. No, Joseph goes to Egypt so Judah doesn't starve. In other words, there was a famine in the land, and God used the difficulty in the life of Joseph to save Judah and preserve the life and lineage of our Savior. So this highlights a couple of things for us. The first is that God never wastes anything. What may seem like the worst waste of timing, the most soul-crushing season of our lives, what seems more overwhelming than we can bear, God never wastes any of that. If he can use Joseph's difficulty to bring about the salvation of his older brother and ultimately the salvation of the world, what does God want to do with our difficulty? Secondly, there were better people that God could have chosen besides Judah. I mean, this chapter reveals the depth of his waywardness, but God used him anyway to bring about the Savior of the world. The line of the Messiah includes the incestuous union of Judah and his daughter-in-law Tamar. It's weird, right? It's disturbing even. But we have to see below the surface that it's revealing something very powerful for you and I. It's revealing what Tim Keller says, that Christianity is the history of grace to those that don't deserve it, aren't looking for it, and don't appreciate it once they have it. Judah's life and this chapter in the middle of the story of Joseph reveal that Christianity is the history of grace to those that don't deserve it, to those that aren't looking for it, and to those that don't appreciate it even after they have it. And you know what? That's great news for us, isn't it? Because we certainly don't deserve it. We haven't been looking for it, and we often struggle to appreciate what we have in Christ. And it's just this kind of people, these kinds of people that God saves, redeems, and uses for his glory. Before I pray, I just want to say thanks again for checking out the Drivecast today. We hope to come back tomorrow for more episodes. Lord, thank you that you love sinners just like us, that you don't waste anything bad that happens in our lives, that you can redeem even the biggest injustice and pain that's part of our lives. Thank you that behind the scenes you are weaving a thread of redemption in all of our stories. Thank you for loving us, even though we have been and even continue to be unlovely. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, why don't you take a moment and pray and thank the Lord for using your pain and for redeeming your life.